we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we're going to spend the next half hour together, and I look forward to that. Hopefully you do, too. Helping to make this possible today are the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, area code 321-632-9538. I was listening to the long-range weather forecast earlier this week, and Tom Terry was saying it is going to be a while before our cooler weather comes back. And so if your air conditioner has thrown up the white flag of surrender and says it's too early in the year for this, you want to give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a call and say, hey, could you come out and take a look at my unit and make sure that it is running efficiently and that there's not any problems, because you don't want to overheat, especially in these hotter days. I got into my car last Saturday morning. I had been doing some work in my garage, so it was a little bit later. It was probably close to 12, I guess, by the time. And when I got in, now my vehicle had been sitting in the driveway because I was working in my garage, and it said 90 degrees. I said, what in the world? 90 degrees. It is too hot. My vehicle does not have air conditioning, so when it's 90 degrees outside, I feel it. But it's one thing when you're just driving a few minutes down the road and it's 90 degrees. It's another thing when you are in your house and it is that hot inside. And so we don't want you in a compromised health situation. Give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a call, 632-9538, and they can get your AC up and running. So air conditioning makes Florida tolerable, and we are very thankful that the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric can keep you cool during this hot season. So we want to invite you to our services this Sunday. I'm going to be preaching the word Sunday morning and Sunday night. This has been our missions emphasis month. We've had three different missionaries, three Sunday nights in a row, and then one of those preached on Sunday morning as well. Roughly counting the missions faith promises that were made that night, plus some others that I know about, our congregation that runs between 50 and 60 most Sunday mornings, 45 to 60, something like that, pledged $35,000, and then 10% of our general fund goes to missions as well. And so by the end of the year, I'm sure we will have another very successful year in missions giving, and we want to thank the folks who've listened. I've also got ministry opportunities that are presenting themselves and overseas. People keep asking me if I will go overseas, and I tell them the same thing. You know, I appreciate the invitation. God is my commander in chief. He is the one who schedules my itinerary, and whatever he makes possible, I will say yes to that. But we want to invite you out. I will be preaching. I'm preaching right now on desires. And last week I had preached about some less than ideal desires and some ungodly desires that we need to purge from our lives. These are desires that you've set your heart upon. And so this week I teased just a little bit at the end of the service last week, but this week we are in pursuit not of godly accomplishments per se. We're pursuing godly desires, because if we can get the desires in the right place, if we can pursue the right things, then we will set our mind and set our face towards accomplishing those objectives, and then we will see great things done for the Lord. And so if you want to come in, we're just getting in on the ground floor of it, and really looking forward to what God is going to do in this sermon series. We're going to go back to the New Testament again today. We're going to be talking about self-control. Self-control is one of those things that is absolutely imperative. I want to take you to the book of Titus today, Titus chapter 1. Oftentimes, it is this factor of self-control. Sometimes it's translated temperance or temperance in the King James Version, but we're going to be talking about self-control. I looked up the word. The Greek word itself. I didn't just look up the one concept, but it is whether or not that person has self-control that makes the difference between success or failure. I've watched a number of Olympic events that took place, and that self-control, how do you handle yourself? How do you control yourself when you're coming down the mountain at a high rate of speed? You've got to know when to shift your weight, how to shift your weight. You need to know when to scale back and when to get it right. People who knew what they were talking about looked at the skiers, and they could tell whether their speed was failing just by looking at the position that the skier was in on the skis. They could tell when a person was intentionally slowing down and when a person was really going all out and trying to speed up. Self-control manifests on an athletic scale. Self-control manifests on a eating scale. Self-control manifests itself in your mouth. Self-control will manifest benefits for you in every area of your life. The phone's ringing there, but self-control is a good thing to have going on in your life. And I encourage you today as we look to Titus chapter 1. I'm going to start off with those who are called to be in the ministry. How many of you think that I ought to be a role model when it comes to these things? Well, Paul did. So we're going to look at Titus chapter 1, verse number 5. Titus chapter 1, verse number 5. For this reason, I, Paul, left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, there's that in verse number 8, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Verse number 10 says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Drop down to verse number 16. They profess to know him, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So Paul writes to Titus here. This is one of his pastoral epistles, and he says, Titus, I left you there in Crete on purpose, and the purpose was not so that you would find everything nice and cushy and all of that sort of stuff. I set you there because there were some things that were lacking, and they needed to be put in order. That concept of order is going to show up here a couple of times. First of all, it shows up with Titus, and he says, Titus, I need you to put in order the things in the community that you're ministering in, things that are lacking. Did you know that without you, the body of Christ is an incomplete picture of God's grace? God's grace is manifest in your life and in my life in a unique way that is meant to impact both not only ourselves, not only our immediate family, but it's also meant to build up the faith of the body of Christ. It is supposed to open up our eyes to the reality that there are people who come from a different background, from different ruts, if you will, from different valleys of sin, from different miry clays. They come from different backgrounds, but it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has caused all of us to become believers and children of the Most High God. So I want you to understand that you're not going to find everything all laid out for you nice and neat. One of the things that happened to me when I was in the shoe industry was whenever I would get into a new assignment, into a new store, I would immediately begin to go through the stock room, and I would put it in the order it was supposed to be in. And I wanted to get it done. It was not a massive inventory, but I was all by myself, and so I was doing things on the floor. I was checking stock in. I was putting shoes away. I was, it was kind of a very small personnel operation. My shoe department, when I first started, I was in the men's shoe department. Later, I became managers of all three departments in Texas and then here in Florida, men's, women's, and children's. And so they needed to be put in the right order. And so that was, I would set out and I would just focus on getting things the way that they were supposed to be. That's what he tells Titus here. He says, make sure that things that are not where they're supposed to be get put where they're supposed to be. God is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion and chaos. He is a God of order. And so there are a couple of other references that we see here in Titus chapter 1 where the concept of things that are out of order and the term insubordination is used. It says in verse number 6, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. That doesn't mean that something was necessarily bad. It means that it can be out of order. That's what insubordination. If you hear that term, a lot of times you will hear that in a military formation or in a hierarchical situation where there's authority and someone is given an order and they don't follow that order. Now, I will tell you this: there are a couple of caveats that disqualify the charge of an insubordination, and that is if an order is illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional. If it's ungodly, then it's not insubordination not to follow that order. Second, if the person making the order doesn't have the jurisdiction or the authority to give that order, then it's not insubordination to disobey that order. Okay, so I want to put those qualifications in there because there are a lot of times when people do horrible things that they will say, well, I was just following orders. Well, the Nuremberg trials said, you know what, there's a higher law than the law of just following orders, and that is something that says, you know what, we have a responsibility to humanity and to God that says, you know what, I'm not going to do things that are horrific in nature just to satisfy my overseer, the person in authority over me. So we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ by every noble means. That's very important. So Paul writes to Titus here one more time, and he says, not only am I leaving you to put things in order that are lacking, but I also want you to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. In other words, this is not supposed to be a one-man show. This is not supposed to be a one-person operation. If you are trying to do life all by yourself, you are missing out on great blessings. Earlier this week, one of the men from the church, faithful brother, he's out of town. He won't be hearing this broadcast, but he was doing some work around the church, and we had some tools and that we were utilizing, but the project was bigger it was too heavy for either one of us to handle. Now, there are some of those young scrapping guys out there that they could probably say, you know what, I can do that all by myself, and they might be able to. When I was younger, I might have tried to do it all by myself, but I'm not that guy anymore. And in fact, this guy said, you know what, I try now to use as much leverage as I can, and so whatever tools I've got that will help me to do this. So we were doing a project together that we could not do alone. And that, this is my commercial for the body of Christ, is that you and I, Titus wasn't called to minister all by himself. Paul wasn't called to minister all by himself. You aren't called to do it by yourself. In the body of Christ, it's not supposed to be about the Lone Ranger mentality. It is supposed to be about a body mentality that said, you know what, I need you. The body of Christ needs you. Right now I've been reading a book. A friend of mine wrote a book and he sent me a free copy and he said, hey, you know, could you take a read of this? He sent me an advanced copy. It's great, great book. And because of things that he's written in there, it spurred my thinking and my thoughts on similar topics. And it's like, you know, I wish I had seen what he just saw. I wish I'd seen that years ago. We need one another. The Bible talks about us provoking one another to good works. And so if you are going to work today, if you're on your way into work, I just want to encourage you that you go in with that mindset that you are there not to cause problems, but to encourage others to press forward so that they too can achieve things that they've never achieved before. We're supposed to be constantly making one another better. Okay? I am not an advocate of change for change's sake. I am an advocate for change for improvement to the situation. You know, when I first started preaching, I preached out of one translation of the Bible, and the reason that I did that was because the people that I was speaking to, I wanted to be able to speak in the language that they could understand. And that particular translation went through so many changes that it no longer became the best tool for me to use. And so I moved over to the New King James Version. If there's a congregation that I've got in my head right now, if there's a congregation that I'm preaching to, that the King James Version is the language that they're used to, I will preach in with that translation, because my goal is not just for them to hear my voice. My goal is for them to hear the truth of God's word in whatever language they understand and that they will grasp and they will apply. You and I were not called to do it alone, and so Paul said, you need to appoint elders. Here's the type of guy you're looking for. You ready? Okay. This is a person who is blameless, a person who has his spiritual life in order. There is only one way that you and I can be blameless in this society, and that is through having our sins forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this person has got to have his spiritual life in order. Second, he must have his marital life in order, not in the order that the world says. He must have his marital house in order the way that the Bible describes. And here it says the husband of one wife. So it goes on and it says having faithful children. Okay. And so he must have his family life in order, his priorities in order. And I'm very thankful for my kids and for my grandchild. Got to play with them earlier this week, and just to see the remarkable changes going in on in that life is absolutely wonderful. But you know what the greatest thing about that night was for me? Now, we introduced him to baseball, wiffle ball, trying to hit a wiffle ball. We went for a walk and a run around the block. We played games and we had a great time. We ate, but the highlight of my night was when Mom and Dad came back from eating dinner, and when my grandchild saw Dad, got off of the couch, ran full speed, and said, "Dad." And I told my son at that point in time, treasure moments like that. Treasure moments like that. Because one day they grow up and they might not be so excited to see. How many of you can picture teenagers right now who just, you come in the room, they've got their earbuds in, you're lucky if you get a head bob, what's up, type approach, or they're embarrassed by you. Make sure that you keep that home life in order. Okay. When I first got into the ministry, there was the temptation. There was a philosophy out there that almost called you to sacrifice your family at the altar of ministry. And I made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to keep my priorities in order. And I may not have always been perfect at it, but I certainly got a lot better at it the older that I got, to keep ministering to the family so that the family could be an enhancement to the ministry and not a distraction from the ministry. Goes on, says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God." You know, as I was preparing to come in here, I thought about that, and it's like, God, we hear a lot about stewardship. I wonder why we never hear about stewardship of our relationship with God. Not self-willed, because it's not about my will, it's about God's will. That's what Jesus prayed. "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Not quick-tempered. That means that my anger, my emotional life is brought into subjection and is controlled. Not given to wine. I really don't know what else I can say about this, but that is one of the tools that the enemy will use to disgrace a servant of God and do great damage. Unfortunately, this last week I heard of a story of a series of lives that were changed forever because a pastor had lost control of his ability to be self-controlled in the area of alcoholic consumption, and there were tragic consequences because of that. The best way I know to not give myself to wine is to give myself to the ministry, to God, to the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what the Scripture says. Not violent. And so I don't accomplish things by being more violent than the next person. I'm not greedy. I'm not consumed with money. But I am hospitable. I'm speaking by faith here, okay? We should be hospitable. I had a person that I was talking to here not too long ago, and there goes the phone again. As I was talking to this person, they said, well, why don't you do this on a regular basis? And I gave them the reason, and they turned to the person next to them and said, and that right there just gives you great insight into the life and ministry style of Bob Arthurs. And that was because I had a valid reason. I mean, there was no reason, that there was nothing there to argue about that, and what it was. It wasn't about me. It was about being hospitable to those around me in my life. When you think of, when I look at the word hospitable, I see, the hospitality industry, but I also see the word hospital in there. And you are going to encounter a lot of hurting, broken, and wounded people. And I pray that you would remember that somewhere in all of that wreckage and carnage and hurt and pain and grief and anger, that there is the image of the living God that a person was created in. God created man in his image. And the devil does a lot to distort, to mar, and to scar us. But he also God comes to redeem us, not just pay the price for us, but restore us back. And so remember to treat those around you with hospitality. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. As a minister, you know, you've heard me say this many times. Just because something crosses my mind does not mean it's supposed to cross my lips. That may be one of the most profound truths that God ever enlightened me with is, you know, I've got to be able to say no to saying everything that crosses my mind. Because that initial thought that crosses my mind may need to be one of those thoughts that I take and bring into captivity and make subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, do exhibit self-control. If you want to be an effective minister, a lot of these things that are being described here, if you are self-controlled with your thoughts, you're going to think the way that you're supposed to. If you are self-controlled, you're going to embrace what is good, what is holy, what is just. If you are self-controlled, it says hold fast the faithful words that you have been taught, because there's a reason that you may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So if you and I, if we ever lose the ability to control ourselves, it will minimize the opportunity that we have to make a profound, positive spiritual impact on people's lives. And I pray that you and I will exhibit more and more self-control. Exhibit self. Okay, the weekend's coming up. You may have just got paid. Here's a great, profound spiritual truth for you. Exhibit self-control in your finances when you first get that paycheck, and you'll find that it goes a lot longer. I know it did for me. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We will see you next time right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.